Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we have a special guest. We have Brad Husky with us. Brad is an electrician, and he's currently working out at DIA, and I'm sure your credentials are much better than I just introduced them as, but thanks for your patience with that. But today, we wanted to talk about sharing Jesus at work, and that sounds like a really easy topic. But I know it's way more complex than that, right?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that you kind of think that you should be able to talk about anything with your coworkers once you get to know them. But especially working on like a construction site, the chances to talk about your faith or your beliefs, it can be a little awkward at times. Mm-hmm.
So why do you think the workplace is one of the most challenging places to share your faith?
Well, I think we all have to deal with the political correct mentality. There's certain topics you're just not supposed to bring up in polite company with other people you don't know very well, and things that can get you in a lot of hot water if you start talking about them. Just talking to somebody, hey, what's your personal faith system and your background in church? Do you go to church? Can get people upset with you if you don't approach it in the right way, I suppose.
Now, in my life group, we have a lot of different people who are working in the secular world. And we talked about that with you, I think, quite a few podcasts ago. But one of the things that they brought up is they have to take special training, sensitivity training.
Yep.
But yet there's not sensitivity so much to our faith. It's to other things, but not necessarily to faith.
Yeah, there's a lot of awareness of making sure you don't offend other people. And I think we focus way too much on not offending other people to the point where we can't really even connect with other people anymore, because you don't want to risk getting into a topic that might be sensitive for somebody. Like, a lot of people have a pretty negative history with their church experience, unfortunately. And I found that some of my coworkers, when they find out that I go to church regularly, I participate in things at church, they kind of go, oh, why would you do that? And then they kind of start dumping on their history that they have. And actually, that's a pretty common way that I've found to be able to start that conversation. Just be the person who can listen to somebody else's problems. Wow. They don't necessarily want to share, but they need to. And when they find somebody who is willing to listen and not judge them, they actually start to open up and talk about it a little bit.
So you feel like the doorway to having a bold conversation about your faith is really building that relationship first and listening to them first.
Absolutely, yeah. I've got a fairly new coworker right now. I've only been working with him for a couple of weeks. He's my new apprentice, and he's, you know, a young kid who is fresh into the industry and doesn't know much. I can't just walk up to him and go, hey, Jack, do you go to church? Because he would just probably give me the stink eye and like turn on, shut off and walk away. Right. But asking him about himself and his experience, I just asked, hey, how'd your Christmas go? What was your favorite thing about your vacation you took? Because we all took some time off from work, as most people do. And you just start to open the door for them to talk about themselves. And that tends to get people more comfortable.
So you really don't have an agenda. It's not like I'm going to have three conversations and then I'm going to ask him the five questions, right?
Right, right.
It's more of just really taking it slow and easy and allowing space for that relationship.
Yeah, I think if you want to have a legitimate, real conversation with somebody about faith, it has to be initiated from their side. I love the song. This is going to date me here. The shine, let them know just what you've got.
Yeah.
Make them wonder why they're not.
Boys, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
But while they're on the outside looking in, that idea of you don't have to go out and stand on a soapbox and take and tell people about your faith. But if you are living that faith and being a person that somebody wants to connect with, then they're going to connect with you. And it's so much more real and more meaningful if somebody comes up and asks you the question to start the conversation.
Yeah, Rob Bell, he was a long time ago. I just dated myself by bringing up that name. But Rob Bell used to call it Bullhorn Guy. And it was really interesting. I went to go see Ed Sheeran in concert. And as we were walking back to the car, we walked by this guy who was on his bullhorn. He was just screaming at people that they were going to hell. And I wanted to look around to everybody around me and go, I am so sorry. This isn't it, guys. I'm sorry. And people were like yelling back at him, and it was really harsh.
Yeah.
And it wasn't what made me as a Christian comfortable either.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I love that you're much more gentle, you're much more conversational about it, relational.
Yeah, I have lots of other stories similar to that. Like, you know, we had the crazy cross man in Lincoln, Nebraska when we were going to school in Concordia. We'd spend the weekends in there, and there was the guy who stood out there with the 12-foot-tall cross with all the sins printed on it and yelled at people. And, you know, being a bunch of Christian college students, it was hilarious to watch the, you know, it was like almost a challenge, like, you should go up to him and you should go battle him. It was like the rite of passage to go battle the crazy cross man.
Right.
And it never worked. He didn't ever convince anyone to turn away from their sinful life. And I think it probably hardened more people against believing in something. Like, I don't want to look like this crazy guy. And I've had that happen a few times at work where people know I'm a person of faith. You know, we were talking about what we did this weekend. I'm like, oh, I was at church. I had a council meeting, and we were discussing what to do to make our church functional and things like, you know, I don't share details, but
yeah.
You talk about what you did on the weekend, and people
right.
kind of go, oh, well, you're one of those. You're one of those. I've got to be careful around you. Don't. And then they all of a sudden start like talking differently. You know, construction workers tend to be have that reputation, kind of like sailors. And it's funny to watch how some people, as soon as they find out you're a Christian, oh, they clean up their speech a little bit, and they get a little more careful about what they say for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, my son was approached by somebody he works with, and it's a little unusual in Texas to run into somebody who's not a Christian. But he's made it very clear he's not. And he asked my son, he goes, you're religious, right? And asked him a question about forgiveness. And it opened up a great conversation. But Josh said the same thing. It's construction's a whole different world. There's a whole different lingo, we'll say it that way. But there are really great opportunities to be able to share your faith.
Yeah, so I think all of this is super good, and I love it. And I think like it's a great way like to open the door, right? And I think there's I forget the church father that said it, but there's a guy that said, speak the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. And I think it's got taken out of context that, like, I've heard this, and not so much around peace, but around other churches and other places where Christians will say, well, yeah, I just kind of let my light shine, and I don't really need to say anything. And again, the problem I see with that, just practically how the Bible speaks, is like the Bible says that they will they'll believe because they hear. Like that's a teaching in the Bible over and over. Apostle Paul wrote it, sums it up in Romans. Like you have to hear. That's how you believe in the gospel, is by hearing. So how do you get to a place like? Because I know you do. I know you're not one of these people that's just like, yep, I'm just nice. And if they go to Christians, if they go to Jesus, so what? But I'm just nice. Like how do you? Are there things you do to bring the conversation to a place so that you can share Jesus? Like, what is that from going from kind of being the nice person that has relationships? Because I know you share Jesus. Like, how does that work for you to get to Jesus?
So I think the natural way for that to work that I've experienced is to be the reliable resource. When other people are having a conversation and they're talking about who cares what, but they go, hey, we want to get the Christian's perspective on this. It's almost as a joke initially. It turns out like, oh, yeah, well, let's find out what this guy would have to say about it because he's religious. He should It'll be really funny to poke fun at the religious view on this. That's often the way it happens. And they'll come up and go, okay, so we're having this debate. What would Jesus do in this situation? That I've had that thrown at me so many times. What would Jesus do in this situation? I look at him, I go, well, Jesus was known to turn tables and whip people, so maybe that. But I think...
And that silences everyone.
Oh, yeah. They immediately kind of pause and go, what? But to be that resource that people can come to when they have a question. I was a teacher, and I love to tell people about stuff. And I work with an apprentice as a journeyman. I'm supposed to teach my apprentice. So there's often natural times where that teaching moment just happens. But when other people are having a conversation and you're around, to be that person that they know has another opinion on it. And you don't always have to put your own opinion in there or butt into conversations, but to naturally take advantage of the opportunity when people come to you with a, hey, what's your perspective on this? And I think in normal conversation, that happens regularly.
Yeah.
But to use that as the opportunity to say, well, my perspective on it is flavored by my past with a religious experience, with my here's what the Bible would tell us to do.
Yeah.
And not to pull that Bible out and thump it in front of people,
right,
but to just make it natural. Like, this is what the Bible would say to do on that.
I think kind of read in between the lines a little bit and tell me if I'm wrong, but like one of the steps between just being a nice person and shining Christ's life with his light with your actions is actually them knowing that you do have this belief system, right? Yeah. So like, I think what I see you doing, and let me know. So there's like, I guess what I see is you saying almost there's three parts. There's being the nice person. And then the final one that you talked about.
Is it being nice or is it being real, authentic? I don't think.
Yeah, not just nice. Yeah, so it's that kind of, it's going back to that church father, like, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. Like, that's the first step, that we be this real, genuine, not a fake person,
right,
but not a goody-goody, but like a just honest and true and a whole good, you're a good, wholesome person, like you are. And I think people see that in you. But and then the last step is being that Christian resource for them. And I think I really like that because then they're coming to you. But I think there's a middle step in there that you live out, and that's just being honest about, this is who I am. Like, you're not saying, I'm a Christian, when am I going to talk to you about Jesus, or I'm a Christian, you need to get saved, but you're just saying, this is who I am. If you're going to understand Brad, you're going to have to understand that I'm a part of Peace with Christ, I'm a part of this church, I'm invested in this church, and I'm invested in following Jesus. Is that kind of the three-step process?
I think too often people try to compartmentalize their lives.
Yeah.
They try to separate, well, this is me at work, yeah, this is me at home, this is me at church.
We talk about hats.
Right.
I switch hats wherever
and
I am.
I don't think that we can honestly live that way. I think you honestly just have to be who you are.
Yes.
Like, and that might mean that I'm a little bit rough around the edges at church. I might be abrasive at church because I'm still being my construction worker self sometimes at church. And I'll admit, I don't always come off very nice at church. But that's funny because I'm the nice guy on the job site. But I'm just me. And depending upon the setting, it looks different, but it's like, no, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
And I've got people who've known me from my church background who see me at work and are like, wow, you're not what I would expect for a construction worker. I'm like, but I am what you expect for Brad Husky, right? Well, I guess, yeah, when you put it that way, I'm like, yeah, I'm not a different person at work.
So I want to go kind of a different direction for a second. You've been in your job how many years now?
As an electrician? Let's see. This would be, it's coming on 11 years now.
Okay. And you've been at DIA 50 years now.
Feels like it. Feels like forever.
But as you've witnessed, as you've shared, have you ever seen conversion? And does that get exhausting, not seeing the fruits of what you're doing?
So I don't think I've ever witnessed a moment where I would say, hey, this person is now a Christian and they weren't yesterday. Because I don't think that actually happens. I don't think somebody is, you know, has a moment in their life where they go, oh, now I'm a Christian. Like you have moments in your life where you definitely can say I'm not married, and then 2 seconds later I'm married. The pastor says the words, you sign the paper, whatever it is, and you go from one stage of life to another. I don't think you have that in your faith. I think it's a slow, gradual change that occurs over your entire life. Because I don't know if I'd ever be able to point at a time in my life where I could say, yeah, that's the moment where I really gave my life to Christ. But you see the small little changes going from asking the questions in a derogatory way of making fun of, hey, let's poke fun at the Christian guy, to, hey, I'm actually having some problems at home and I'm trying to figure out how to deal with my life here. And I see that you have something that I want. Can we talk about this? Now it becomes I actually trust you and I'm willing to open up to this person and ask you a real question. And I'm not just doing it for the fun of talking to the Christian guy and getting a different perspective.
And you have seen that.
I've seen that now. Looking back at the last couple of years, there's so many times where I go, wow, you know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have been able to have this conversation with you. But now you're actually opening up to me. And I think that's where you start to see the change that I don't know that this person is a Christian now, but maybe the Holy Spirit's working on them a little bit.
So that can get a little exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
When you're not seeing it. What are your words to people who have those relationships in the workplace? They're doing what you're doing, but I've heard time and time again, I'm getting exhausted. My neighbor's not changing. My coworker isn't getting it, and I'm still just the nice Bible answer man, right?
Yeah. I mean, not to steal pastor's thunder on this one, but I think the gardening references work really well in this one. It's not our job to plant the seed. It's not. We don't plant the seed. That's the Holy Spirit. He puts that seed there. Your job is to water it. Your job is to nurture, to care for those people. And sometimes that care will go completely unnoticed for years and years and years. And you might never even see that blossoming of their faith because they've moved on to a new phase in their life.
Yeah, and I think when we've shared it publicly so we can, but Kevin Hickson talked about the person he invited to Easter and then got a text 4 years later that he was involved in a church, right? Like all Kevin did was invite him to church, right? And so I think like we got to focus on what we can do, which is the next little thing. And I heard somewhere too recently that it used to take 3 or 4 connections with a church or a Christian before somebody kind of gets embedded or integrated or believes and following Jesus. Now they're saying it's about 12 to 15 that it takes because there's this, and I think why it is because there's been more church hurt. There's been a change in how the church is viewed. Where it used to be viewed positively, it's going to take a lot more work now for us to change the opinion people have about God. And I think we get to do that right in our lives when we're being that same person all the time, when we're a place to go to, a safe place to ask questions, and we're not trying to convert them or get them to believe. We're just living our life and being true to who we are.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing is we're not trying to convert people.
Yeah,
I'm not. My job isn't to make my coworkers into Christians, because if they think, you know, stubbornness is a natural human trait.
Correct.
And as soon as you find out that somebody wants you to do or think or say something, now it's your goal to not do it.
Yeah.
And I think we all face that. Even the most cooperative, friendliest person, if they see somebody who's trying to get them to do or say or think a certain way, they're going to push back against it.
Well said.
But with your coworkers, why would you want to try to change them? Just understand them. And I have conversations about all of the topics besides, I go beyond just religion. I do economics and politics and all that because I make sure that my coworkers understand, hey, I want to know who you are and I want to understand you because I think you're interesting. And now they get to be, okay, well, let's have an authentic conversation. We might be having a conversation about economics and they'll see that you're not being a fake person, you're not pussyfooting around the topics that we're not supposed to talk about. And then they feel more comfortable with asking the real hard questions sometimes.
Mm. So you talked about how you do that in the secular sense, to stay up on topics, on politics, whatever. But how do you stay prepared, ready spiritually? Because as we always go back to, this is a podcast for leaders. And how do you just maintain that space for yourself so you're on the ready when you're asked those questions and you're ready to take it down that spiritual route?
I mean, I have the benefit of a history of Christian education that I went through Christian schools all throughout my childhood and high school and even into college. But I think honestly, all of that set up a foundation, but I still have to read things all the time. I read newsletters from Christian organizations, or I participate in discussions at church with people. Going to church and just listening to other people talk about their faith,
yes,
is a great resource in that sense of, oh, I'd never really thought about faith that way. I'd never really experienced that specific event in my life, but listening to somebody else talk about it, okay, I can gain a new perspective.
And it's very unusual not to see you in church. Like, you're always there unless you're camping, the few times that you might be camping or hiking. But yeah, and to know that importance, that's huge.
And I think participating in classes, when pastors ask me to help with teaching some classes at the church, it forces me to dive into things and research and read other perspectives and listen to other people's perspectives on things. Sitting in with groups we have the men's group where we sit around and talk in Jeff's basement about just what's going on in church and what's going on in the world right now, and getting other people's perspectives on
it.
Your leadership circle, right?
Yeah. So, I think that's a big thing. I think, like, if we're going to have spiritual conversations out here, let's have them in the church with safe places so that we can have them in the more challenging. And I think I heard one time that the reason Christians don't share their faith outside is we don't know how to have conversations inside. And so we get in that situation where I want to share my faith, and I end up preaching at them like pastor does the congregation on Sunday. And I'm not sure that's helpful for any. Well, it's helpful, I think, for the body of Christ in the community, but it's not helpful to preach at people. It's helpful to share where you are and talk about ideas. And when you talk about ideas, you're going to get a chance to share about yours.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a personal question for you. I was in your class. I get to sit in on the end of your Lutheranism class, mm-hmm. and what it means to be a Lutheran. And you had some pamphlets that you had on the table. And you said, I asked if I could put some out in the hall because we didn't have those. But you said that you actually carry them with you to work and have them available.
Yep.
When is the right time to pull that out? Like, that was super interesting to me because it's one thing to talk about it in your workplace. It's a whole nother to, oh, hey, I got a brochure for you.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So being an electrician in a highly a field that requires qualifications, right? You have to have a license to be an electrician. And one of the things on our tool list is our code book. You're required to carry your code book with you on the job site. Like, I mean, let's be honest, if you ask 90% of the electricians out there, where's your code book? They'd pull their phone out and go, oh, it's here. But that being in that situation of I'm required to carry around a reference document for my job, I have actually pulled that one when my foreman goes, oh, well, we should look this up in the code and we got to figure out this calculation. I'd be like, I don't have to memorize it because I've got my code book with me. So in the conversations where people are asking me questions about, well, how does your faith apply to this? It naturally becomes that, well, just like I pull my code book out when I need to look up the maximum length on a conductor from the transformer to the disconnect, I'll pull out my reference materials to, well, I don't know, how should I react to this situation? And I've pulled out the Bible a few times. Having the Bible on your phone is such a remarkable resource.
Yeah. Correct.
But everyone knows that the internet is not trustworthy, and you can make anything say whatever you want. So having a physical document to look it up, I'll pull out the little tiny little catechism book and be like, well, it's not just what I say about it. Because again, my opinion isn't something to base your faith off of. One individual person's opinion is not faith foundation worthy. But being able to show, here is what a whole group of other people say about it. And I've given away a few of them because people will start asking those difficult questions that I'm like, well, I've got 5 more minutes left on break. I can't really discuss all of this in 5 minutes, but here, why don't you take this home and read it?
Genius.
And who knows, maybe it ends up in the wheel well of their car, bouncing around in their backpack for the next 6 years, but they might just pull that out sometime and go, hey, I've got a question. Let's look at another perspective.
That is genius. Wow.
Yeah, just to wrap up what I would think, I think what's so refreshing about this conversation, Brad, is that you're just real and who you are, and you're like that with us, with those people out there. And I think that'd be my encouragement to, you know, the biggest thing all of us can learn from Brad is just, you know, be who you are, because God has wired you to reach a certain set of people, a certain 1, 2, or 3 people. And when you're real with those people, then God, let him do the rest.
Yeah, it's not up to you to convert. It's up to you to tell your story, to be available, to love them well, to all those other things. But only God can do that. Only God can work in their hearts.
You don't have to step outside of the box all the time. Sometimes you just have to be real in your own space.
Wow. Well said. Thank you so much, Brad, for joining us today. And thank you for joining us for this episode of Jesus-Centric Podcast.